Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Grace and Truth Radio.world proudly presents Life Coaching for Men, improving their relationships with their wives and learning to communicate for a more fulfilling and satisfying marriage. And now, Men Loving Well with Christian counselor, author, and relationship coach, Dr. Jim Slaughter.
Welcome, everyone. And a happy Thanksgiving Day to you and your family. So glad you could join us today. I think Thanksgiving is a holiday that brings families together like no other holiday does. It's a day especially singled out for us to express our gratitude, our thanks to God for His favor and provision. We usually celebrate Thanksgiving at the table, sharing a meal that's symbolic of God's grace. We remember that what we have is His gift to us, and we're thankful for it. We Americans trace our Thanksgiving heritage to a feast shared by members of several Eastern Native American tribes and a band of English settlers in November of 1621. This group of prosperous English people ventured into the hostile wilderness of a new world in order to worship, read the Bible, and share their faith without being fined or imprisoned for it. We'll thank God today for our food, and let's also thank Him for the religious liberty that these early fathers risked so much to attain for all of us. Now, here's some of the story of what the Lord did to bring about that first Thanksgiving Day. It began when about 100 people, many of them seeking religious freedom in the New World, set sail from England on the Mayflower, a small ship, in September 1620. That November, the ship landed on the shores of Cape Cod in present-day Massachusetts. A scouting party was sent out, and in late December, the group landed at Plymouth Harbor, where they would form the first permanent settlement of Europeans in New England. These original settlers of Plymouth Colony are known as the Pilgrim Fathers, or simply as the Pilgrims. The group that set out from southwestern England in September 1620 included 35 members of a Puritan group known as English Separatists. The settlers joined a London stock company that would finance their trip aboard the Mayflower, which was a three-masted merchant ship. Some of the most notable passengers on the Mayflower included men like Miles Standish, a professional soldier who would become the military leader of the new colony, and William Bradford, a leader of the Separatist congregation and author of A Journal of the Plantation of Plymouth. That was his account of the Mayflower voyage and the founding of Plymouth Colony. While still on board the ship, a group of 41 men signed the Mayflower Compact, in which they agreed to join together in a civil body politic, as they called it. This document would become the foundation of the new colony's government. Signed on November 11, 1620, the Mayflower Compact was the first document to establish self-government in the New World. After sending an exploring party ashore, the Mayflower sailed across the bay to what they would call Plymouth Harbor on the western side of Cape Cod Bay in mid-December. During the next several months, the settlers lived mostly on the Mayflower and ferried back and forth from shore to build their new storage and living quarters. The settlement's first fort and watchtower was built on what is now known as Burial Hill. It was the colony's first cemetery. They had a guard tower, a crude stockade barrier, and one cannon pointed towards the woods. They'd heard reports of vicious savages who tortured their victims, and they expected an attack any time. Throughout that first brutal winter, most of the colonists remained on board the ship, where they suffered from exposure and scurvy and outbreaks of contagious disease. Only half of the Mayflower's original passengers and crew lived to see their first New England spring. In March, the remaining settlers moved ashore, where they received an astonishing visit from an Abenaki Indian. They were expecting an attack by a horde of natives. What they didn't expect was one Indian, just one, alone, coming toward them out of the forest. A Pilgrim captain went out to meet him. The Indian spoke to him, not in sign language, not in native speech, but, of all things, in the King's English. Samoset was an Abenaki sagamore and the first Indian to make contact with the Pilgrims of Plymouth Colony. He startled the colonists on March 16, 1621, by walking right into Plymouth Colony and greeting them in English, which he had begun to learn from fishermen frequenting the waters of Maine. Samoset was a sagamore. That made him a subordinate chief of an eastern Abenaki tribe that lived in what is now Maine, and an English fishing camp had been established in the Gulf of Maine. Samoset learned some English from fishermen who came to fish off Monhegan Island, and he knew most ship captains by name. The Abenaki language is an Algonquian language related to the Massachusetts language of the Nauset and Wampanoag people of the area around Plymouth Colony. And Samoset was visiting Wampanoag Chief Mabasoit at the time of the historic event. The Abenaki language is an Algonquian language. It's related to the Massachusetts language of the Nauset and Wampanoag people of the area around Plymouth Colony. And Samoset was visiting Wampanoag Chief Massasoit at the time of this historic event. He entered the settlement at Plymouth on March 6, 1621, greeted the colonists in English, and asked for beer. He spent the night with the Pilgrims on that occasion, then returned at another time with five other Indians who brought deer skins to trade. It was a Sunday, however, and the colonists declined to trade that day, but they offered the men some food. Samoset came back a week later with an Indian named Squanto, the last remaining member of the Patuxet tribe. Squanto spoke much better English than Samoset, and he arranged a meeting with Massasoit. Squanto was a member of the Patuxet tribe from present-day Massachusetts and Rhode Island. He'd been seized by the explorer John Smith and his men in 1614. He was meant for slavery. He somehow, though, managed to escape to England and return to his native land to find most of his tribe dead of the plague. In addition to interpreting and mediating between the colonial leaders and Native American chiefs, including Massasoit, chief of the Pokanoket, Squanto taught the Pilgrims how to plant corn, which became an important crop for them, as well as where to fish and how to hunt for beaver. In the fall of 1621, the Pilgrims famously shared a harvest feast with the Pokanokets. The meal is now considered the basis for the first Thanksgiving holiday. Listen to this account in Mort's Relation, or the Journal of the Plantation at Plymouth. Mort's Relation is a 1622 account of the early days of Plymouth Colony. It describes Samoset's visit like this. Friday the 16th, a fair warm day towards, this morning we determined to conclude of the military orders, which we had begun to consider of before, but were interrupted by the savages, as we mentioned formerly. And while we were busied thereabout, we were interrupted again, for there presented himself a savage, which caused an alarm. He very boldly came all alone, and along the houses straight to the rendezvous, where we intercepted him, not suffering him to go in, as undoubtedly he would, out of his boldness. He saluted us in English, and bade us welcome, for he had learned some broken English among the Englishmen that came to fish at Monchigan, and he knew by name the most of the captains, commanders, and masters that usually come. He was a man free in speech, so far as he could express his mind, and of a seemly carriage. We questioned him of many things. He was the first savage we could meet withal. He said he was not of these parts, but of Moratiga, and one of the sagamores, or lords, thereof, and had been 8 months in these parts, it lying hence a day's sail with a great wind, and 5 days by land. He discoursed of the whole country, and of every province, and of their sagamores, and their number of men and strength. The wind being to rise a little, we cast a horseman's coat about him, for he was stark naked, only a leather about his waist, with a fringe about a span long or little more. He had a bow and two arrows, the one headed and the other unheaded. He was a tall, straight man, the hair of his head black, long behind, only short before, none on his face at all. He asked some beer, but we gave him strong water and biscuit and butter and cheese and pudding and a piece of mallard, all of which he liked well, and had been acquainted with such amongst the English. He told us the place where we now live is called Patuxet, and that about 4 years ago all the inhabitants died of an extraordinary plague, and there's neither man, woman, nor child remaining, as indeed we have found none, so as there is none to hinder our possession or to lay claim unto it. All the afternoon we spent in communication with him. We would gladly have been rid of him at night, but he was not willing to go this night. Then we thought to carry him up on shipboard, wherewith he was well content, and went into the shallop, but the wind was high and the water scant, that it would not return back. We lodged him that night at Stephen Hopkins' house and watched him. The next day he went back to the Massasoits from whence he came, who are our next bordering neighbors, by the way. They are 60 strong, as he saith. The Nossets are as near southeast of them, and 100 strong, and those were they of whom our people were encountered, as before related. They are much incensed and provoked against the English, and about 8 months ago slew 3 Englishmen, and 2 more hardly escaped by flight to Monchigan. They were Sir Fernando Jorge's, his men, and this savage told us, as he did likewise, of the huggery, that is, the fight that our discoverers had with the Nossets, and of our tools that were taken out of the woods, which we willed him should be brought again, otherwise we would ride ourselves. These people are ill affected towards the English, by reason of one man named Hunt, a master of a ship, who deceived the people, and got them under color of trucking with them, that is, trading with them, 20 out of this very place where we inhabit, and 7 men from Nauset, and carried them away, and sold them for slaves, like a wretched man, 20 pounds a man, a man that cares not what mischief he doth for profit. Saturday in the morning we dismissed the savage, gave him a knife, a bracelet, and a ring. He promised within a night or two to come again, and to bring with him some of the Massasoits, our neighbors, with such beaver skins as they had to truck with us, to trade. In November 1621, after the Pilgrims' first corn harvest proved successful, Governor William Bradford organized a celebratory feast and divided a group of the fledgling colony's Native American allies, including the Wampanoag chief Massasoit. Now remembered as America's first Thanksgiving, although the Pilgrims themselves may not have used the term at the time, the festival lasted for 3 days. While no record exists of the first Thanksgiving exact menu, much of what we know about what happened at the first Thanksgiving comes from Pilgrim chronicler Edward Winslow, who writes this. Our harvest being gotten in, our governor sent 4 men on fowling, so we might have, after a special manner, rejoiced together, after we had gathered the fruits of our labors. They 4 in 1 day killed as much fowl as, with a little help beside, served the company almost a week, at which time, amongst other recreations, we exercised our arms, many of the Indians coming amongst us, and amongst the rest their greatest king, Massasoit, with some 90 men, whom for 3 days we entertained and feasted. And they went out and killed 5 deer, which they brought to the plantation and bestowed on our governor, and upon the captain and others. And although it be not always so plentiful as it was at this time with us, yet by the goodness of God, we are so far from want that we often wish you partakers of our plenty. Americans throughout the world today are coming to the table for a Thanksgiving meal with family and friends. We will thank God for our food and for the abundance he showers on us. This also would be a good time for us to thank him for fundamental blessings highlighted in our program today: religious liberty, God's providential care, the power of faith, and for the joy of our salvation. I wanted to close the program today with a reading of a psalm. It's a Thanksgiving song. Psalm 100, superscription reads, A Psalm for Giving Thanks. The author writes, Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues throughout all generations.
Blessed Heavenly Father, humble thanks we raise. Your strong arm will guide us now through all our days.
We gather together to ask the Lord's blessing. And hastens his will to make known. The wicked oppressing now cease from distressing. Sing praises to his name, he forgets not.
Thank you again for joining us. Men Loving Well airs live every Thursday at 10:30 a.m. Central Time on graceandtruthradio.world. If you would like to contact or coach with Dr. Jim Slaughter, reach out to him on facebook.com/livingwellshow. Email him at jslaughterphd@yahoo.com or contact him at his clinic, Life Solutions, 817-232-1363. We look forward to seeing you again next week here on Men Loving Well.
Well. Life Solutions Coaching and Counseling in Fort Worth, Texas is a full-service wellness clinic providing individual, group, and family counseling, one-on-one coaching for life and wellness, and naturopathic treatments of medical massage therapy combined with essential oils to ensure you reach your health and wellness goals. Sessions are available in person or by phone. Get started on your new life today. Just call 817-232-1363 or go to LifeSolutionsCoachingAndCounseling.com or email them at LifeSolutionsCC@Yahoo.com.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.